Your mouse is dead, and the computer is on life support. Benjamin Rockwell can help with that. Translating technobabble to English, your translation expert, Benjamin Rockwell, is here with Computer Talk Radio.
We have so many different things, exciting things in store for you this week here on Computer Talk Radio. Steve Keske is going to be talking about updates on new regulation easing for drones. I'm going to tell you that technology is important as a tool, but not for something to control us. Keith McIntyre is going to be looking back at tech promises and prognostications from the past. We've got listener questions as well. Debbie's going to talk to me. She's got questions in regards to peer-to-peer VPNs. Ivy wants to know why her screen is randomly flickering or cutting out on the IT Pro series. All of us at every level need to be looking to AI to improve our skills, our jobs, and everything that puts us into the marketplace. Mark Brownstein is going to be joining me. Free isn't free. And on the Scam series, I'm going to give you a real life example of why not to blindly put cash into gold or gift cards or anything else. We'll be talking about that. And Dr. Doreen Galley is going to be coming up next, and she's been to Black Hat, and there's a lot of exciting stuff for that. That'll be all here on this week's Computer Talk Radio. If you miss any of it, of course, check out the website, computertalkradio.com. We have the podcast located there. You can also reach out to us with your computer questions, your technology concerns. Again, computertalkradio.com. And the phone number, 888-NERD. 888. That's 888-637-3888. Moving into the news, Wi-Fi 7 was made official just under a year ago. Okay, technically that was a ratification, a finalization of all of the different terms and everything that you have to follow from a tech perspective. And we've seen hardware for far longer. Wi-Fi 8. They have their first draft, and it's doing something we haven't seen yet. However, for the life of Wi-Fi, it's been about speed first and then expanding range. The new specs are actually about driving reliability at the edge of your range, and that's going to increase the number of folks to share the Wi-Fi space, and there's also compatibility and moving around all of the other establishes that are already established out there, like Bluetooth and NFC, so they don't compete for the same space there. We're not likely to see products in the Wi-Fi 8 space for a while, so there's no reason to wait. If you need to upgrade now, go for Wi-Fi 7. I am going to note that being aware that the standard continues to move forward for all of us is always a good thing here. And Wikipedia. Well, AI can help us, but the amount of information now on the internet is skyrocketing, including some very bad information that comes from artificial intelligence. Wikipedia is the first big name that I've noticed that is starting to develop policies that slow the corruption of fact. They've introduced new abilities to ensure Wikipedia's accuracy by allowing fast removal of language that is obviously from large language models. These are LLMs, that's another term we have for it, or basically it's the text from such AI models as ChatGPT. The issues are clearly of a concern when we go to the world's largest encyclopedia for information, and we want it to be reliable. We want it to be filled with fact. And this, I will admit, is probably a temporary fix for something that will get worse. My concern, and one we should all be having, is that when these AI models are further adapted and improved to appear more like what you and I would write, it's going to make some problems, and that's going to be sooner rather than later. And then, of course, another AI thing here. OpenAI announced their latest updates to ChatGPT this week with version 5. The upgrade is already garnering interest due to the promises of faster response and accuracy and a deeper dive than the previous versions would do when they're doing the research to tell you whatever it is they're going to tell you. More important, a reduction in hallucination. And this is a reference to AI where it goes along and it makes up things and it gets confused and we get factual errors. They admitted that an elimination of these errors is probably impossible, but it shouldn't be concerning if you're using it properly, meaning you check the references, you make sure you review whatever you're getting out of it. The stats on all of this are significant across all categories, and while expected, it's good to hear that the areas are being presented that they're focusing on and where the future of OpenAI and all of the AIs out there is going to get better. The early response is it's delivering on promises, and I am working on covering more about AI in the coming months as it's finally in a place where we will ignore it only at our own expense. And Illinois last week I talked about people using ChatGPT and other AI platforms for therapy, for it just trying to figure out what to do with your life. An unexpected twist in Illinois is that the state legislature and their governor have put a law into place that bans AI usage of therapy. The approach is that only licensed professionals are allowed to perform therapeutic decisions, and they can't do that with the usage of AI. Now, there are distinct problems with this, as it could run counter to federal plans that limit legislation to the federal level, at least for the next decade. I struggle with this, as I don't agree with the idea of using a computer to decipher our own personal issues, but I also don't like the idea of politicians pretending they know best. AI is publicly a little more than two and a half years old, and even the savviest of techies are still working to understand it and what the implications could be. Throw a room of politicians together and you're going to wind up with disaster, especially since they've probably just seen AI working. This could wind up with drastic mistakes in legislation that will take far longer to undo. Apple is proving to be nothing but nimble. The production of many millions of iPhones has been shifted from India, or rather from China, to India. Further, the majority of iPhones currently produced for us here in the United States are now coming from India, over half of them. And you add this to a plan for Apple to spend $600 billion to start manufacturing here in the United States as a response to tariff increases and all of that. We are going to see a return of major tech to onshore. Many companies are referenced in this latest update from Apple, which included Corning. They're the folks that make the glass, that unbreakable glass that's on the front of your iPhone. Broadcom and Texas Instrument. They're famous for making chips, and they've been making chips all the way along for your iPhone and of course, for the competitors out there as well. But Samsung, who also provides some of the display tech used in the iPhones. So this is a big, huge deal. This is a lot of things coming together all at once. I'm personally excited about the prospect of an American-made major-name smartphone, and I am looking forward to seeing if the next version is going to be available in a made-in-the-USA option. Dell has released warnings this week about a critical flaw in a chip that is heavily used across their Precision, their Latitude, and their Pro laptops. Now, this flaw is in a function that is used for passwords and biometric data. This is not a small thing here. This is opening up many millions of users of Dell laptops to hacks that involve data theft or malicious code like ransomware. But yes, the passwords themselves and biometric data. That could be really big here. The simple answer for everybody right now, if you've got a Dell, even if you don't have a Dell, go to the manufacturer, check for and install all of the updates that are available for your system. If you have the Dell Command Center, the updates should be there. This should be a part of your regular routines, no matter what hardware you have, no matter what software you have, and it should happen far more often than you might expect. In this day and age, I am moving back to the idea that monthly we should be checking all of our drivers, all of our hardware, firmware, everything to make sure it is completely up to date. That's because, yes, the bad guys are using AI. And we're going to get into a little bit of that coming up next here on Computer Talk Radio when Dr. Doreen Galley joins me with her updates in regards to the Black Hat Conference in Las Vegas. That'll be next here on Computer Talk Radio.
Let's talk about on and off.
You mean like light switches?
Yeah, the original user interface device.
And you were there, right?
Hey, I'm not that old.
Yeah, you are. So on and off.
Yeah, only with no humans doing it, like...
But you and I both have our computers on CyberPower UPS systems.
Yeah, so we have power, but there's another on and off.
Oh, right. Online and offline.
You got it, meaning another UPS at the cable modem and VoIP phone and Wi-Fi router.
And even a low-cost standby UPS can handle those. Better, of course, if it has AVR.
Right, so it doesn't have to hit the battery just because the line voltage drops.
Maybe it's a good time to mention the promo that saves $10 to $15. Details are at the CyberPower website.
And maybe you could put it on your website?
Oh, that's already done at ComputerTalkRadio.com.
You know, on and off. You take really good care of your listeners.
The website, ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. That's how you can reach out to us. Scroll down to where it says contact us today, and I will get back to you with answers to your computer questions and your technology concerns. Dr. Doreen Galley from TBW Advisors joins me now. And Doreen, you went to, this is one of the conferences I've wanted to go to for a long time. It just never worked out. You went to Black Hat. And this is such an exciting thing because Black Hat is all about cybersecurity. It's all about all of these different folks who are trying to protect us from the bad guys.
And a few of the bad guys
hanging out there. Yeah, there's that because they're also hanging out at DEF CON, which follows on afterwards. And you've been going constantly for the last few days with Black Hat. So I want to ask you, what is your first impression about this year? What are the big threats that everybody was talking about that come to mind?
Agentic AI.
Would
we really know what this AI is doing? And it's getting command and control access and privileges. It's always not giving proof of, you know, or have immutable logs or immutable files. So you don't always know what it's doing. It's definitely helpful, but a lot of people are using it extensively. The bad guys absolutely are using a lot of AI.
Definitely.
Guys are using a lot of AI. Some people give too much credit to AI. But one way or the other, you know, some people believe it's the cure. Some people believe it's the problem.
It's both.
Truth be told, I haven't been able to analyze everything. I have been shoving information in. I noticed a trend. There was a couple people I spoke to where they're doing very hardened with fraud in who you are to what hardware you are tied with. So not just you as a person, but your physical hardware, you know, to make sure it's you from your phone and you from your computer.
Okay.
When someone calls in, is it their voice on their corporate phone calling in for help? You know, various different angles.
Sure, yeah. Some of that like voice authentication.
I haven't even done the elementary per video analysis review of them yet. But what's exciting is they had a lot of restrictions, obviously. Yeah.
Yes.
So at HIMSS, I talked about how the entire expo hall was treated as a surgical operating room from a HIPAA perspective.
Okay, yeah.
Extreme.
Mm-hmm.
This was more. More private, more extreme.
Yes, yes. Well, I imagine there's a lot of people who go there that do not want to be on camera at all. They're avoiding.
Correct. Correct. Because, although for different reasons, right?
Yes.
A lot of reasons it was because maybe they're gray hats or black hats. Today, there was a few people that participated in the social side of black hat. So those of you who are not familiar, not only is there a massive conference with massive events and training.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of additional events that people have next to it and adjacent, and people that have cybersecurity events related to it a day, an hour, an evening.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition, there's a pub crawl. I think it's Wednesday and Thursday night.
It's Vegas. But there's going to be a pub crawl with any convention.
So if you were staying at that resort, I don't know where you would go to eat or party if you wanted to, because every restaurant and bar is bought by some company.
Oh, yeah.
And so you have to spend the weeks heading into Black Hat going through Evites. Now, I'm a little too old for that, admittedly, this year. but when I went in 16, I did go. But back to back, bar to bar, club to club, if you RSVP'd and you're on the list, admittedly, sometimes if you're a female, it does get easier to get in.
Yes.
Because there's a disproportionate rate between males and females here. But
that's kind of the IT culture.
Typically. But you could tell a lot of people enjoyed the social, because today there was a lot more people. Like I said, on one of the live, I'm like, well, go to the video, see if I can catch something before the Microsoft. Yeah, I landed up catching someone from the PR connection that I made that came in, and we ended up doing that. I spent at one time an hour, and nobody wanted to be on camera. Yeah. They're like, oh, no, I partied too much.
So of the folks, of the folks that you saw, the various presentations and whatnot, what are the ones that really struck you the most?
Well, obviously, Miko's keynote jumped out. Miko's the gentleman that solved the I Love You virus back in the day.
What's his last name? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Hapaninen?
Okay. So Hapaninen? I remember dealing. I mean, we're talking. That goes back.
Hapoonen.
That goes back to early 2000s, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I remember Bill Gates saying he never knew so many employees had such strong feelings for him because he got I love you emails from everyone. So he's a very famous cyber threat researcher.
Yeah.
So I got permission from him personally to get the first 10 minutes of his keynote.
Yes.
So I got that. Yeah. And Microsoft had the threat intelligence talk today.
Yes, yes.
And they let me get the first 10 minutes.
Nice.
Their talk.
Nice. Now, are these going to be up on your Facebook channel?
Oh, they're actually on my YouTube channel, and they're up.
I'm sorry, YouTube. I meant YouTube.
Everything is live.
So
yes,
TBW.
Everything is live.
You look up TBW Advisors on YouTube, and you'll find tons of videos. Yep. How many videos did you take, actually?
61 videos.
61.
33 for our Conference Whispers formal research. And then, as you know, we researched multiple documents on site.
Yeah.
So we did research for Whisper Report, what are the biggest cybersecurity myths in 2025?
Yeah.
Got 11 answers to that. So I'll tell you a secret. In the Conference Whispers playlist description, and eventually when it comes out, there's the link to the Conference Whisper playlist, because eventually that goes unlisted.
Yeah.
And all three Whisper Report questions, which are pending right now.
Uh-huh.
There's no analysis done, but the raw research and their answers are all there.
Oh, wow.
So there's 11 people who answered the greatest cybersecurity myth of 2025. There are 9 people that answered, can AI defend against AI-powered attacks?
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh. And
exactly.
That is, yeah, okay.
And and eight people that dove into the dark territory of what's the next SolarWinds level breach waiting to happen.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. We've talked about SolarWinds before here on the show. That's a scary one for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so figure there's all the cybersecurity experts and, you know, a lot of people go, good question. And some people go, oh, I see it coming. And so I found some of the people that said, I see it coming, and we got their opinion on it.
Very cool.
One of my interviews was actually the gentleman had his cybersecurity AI agent themselves participate in the interview.
Really? Okay.
Yes. So the agent answered some of the questions, and then he agreed or disagreed and gave his response as well to it. So that was interesting. But the super, super, super exclusive video I am very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
I asked permission, and they told me that they have never, ever given this permission before.
Yeah.
I did a mile-long walkabout through Expo Hall of Black Hat at 9:30 this morning. Before it was open, when everyone was in the keynote, I got permission.
That is awesome.
They do not allow filming in Expo Hall. So I'm like, well, what about when the attendees aren't in? What about at 9:30?
Sure.
And she asked. They have never given permission.
That is cool, because I'm well aware. Black Hat and DEF CON, nobody wants cameras around or any of that. Yeah. So very, very awesome. Hey, we're running up to the end of the segment here. I wish I could spend an hour with you on this, but give out information, if you would, where people can find out. Well, we've already covered the videos, but find out more about TBW Advisors.
Yeah, so all our videos, YouTube pays us to host them on YouTube at TBW Advisors. Our website is tbwadvisors.com, and we're also on LinkedIn and Facebook, so please follow us on all forums and interact. We'd love to hear your comments. If I don't hear your comments and get your likes, I don't know what content you love, so I don't know what to try to capture at future events.
That is Dr. Doreen Galley of TBW Advisors. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. Microcenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, Microcenter is your resource. Check out Microcenter.com today. Microcenter.com.
The website, ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. That's how you can reach out to us. Scroll down to where it says contact us today. I will get back to you with answers to your computer questions and your technology concerns. Keith McCullough joins me now. And Keith, you know, one of the things that I don't know what it is, every 2 or 3 years or so go by, and I see one of these. I get a barrage, actually. I all of a sudden, mm-hmm. I will see 3 or 4 or 5 videos from some kind of news article back in the 80s or the 90s about what our future is going to be like. And I think we're right like in the middle of one of those right now.
Like the Tom Selleck AT&T ads. You will.
Yes, that's one of them. Oh man, that actually is one that usually is in every single one of those series. But there's usually something coming along. The Bryant Gumbel, he's sitting there with, I think it's Katie Couric,
Katie Couric,
young Katie Couric, young Bryant Gumbel
symbol.
Yeah, so, exactly.
They're be at something.
And we're and you and I would look at this and we're going, that was so pathetically just, I don't want to say ignorant, uninformed. I would think they would have done some homework or whatever. They
and when they and they see the period of,
there.
When they see the period of the decimal point, they're like, what is that? Point com?
Yeah. So many different things over the years. What is your thought on, I mean, some of those get very, very deep into the prognostication. I think of the AT&T one, this is what our future will be like. And some of those are very close. Some of them, some of those different, whether it's a commercial or news reports, can be very far off as well. What's your overall take on those?
I think if we were to analyze like movies, taking a look at the future, 20, 30 years into the future, the one thing they all got wrong, you know, for as much as
flying cars,
got right,
we still don't have flying cars.
Well, that's true. But I'm thinking in terms of, you know, we're pretty accurate at the weather. You know, you look at My Radar and other weather apps like that. Mm-hmm. They can tell you when a weather cell is coming through with tremendous accuracy. And Back to the Future Part 2 got that right. But the one thing they got wrong was missing out on everybody having a personal cell phone with their faces buried in it walking around on the street.
No.
They still had pay phones back then.
I will give you one that's worse, though, out of that.
Okay.
The people with fax machines in their homes. The 90s called. They want their technology back.
Well, you have to think about it this way. You know, when the fax machine was in its advent and its infancy, you'd find it in businesses and commercial locations.
Oh, yeah.
And like anything else, all major technologies had a commercial application first. Then the prices would come down and you'd find them, you know, in people's homes. So that seemed to be the – and a few people did. They were built into people's printers and scanners.
Sure. I remember, actually, I worked for a company in the early to mid-90s. And we not only had one fax machine, but we had so much business going through that we put in a second fax machine on a rollover line. So
I worked for a company that had the rollover line also.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if the thing ran out of paper, when somebody finally put more paper in, the thing would just keep churning out pages.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I remember that. Oh, that was an amazing thing back in those days. And today, what was it? There was something I did recently I had to have a fax machine for. I want to say it was for taxes or something. It wasn't taxes, though. It was something related to it. I can't remember what it was. I rolled my eyes. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, fax machines today, I mean, if you think about what it is, it's just an all-in-one scanner, printer, and modem.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. No,
telephone dialer for end-to-end connectivity. But, I mean, we don't need a fax machine today unless you need the privacy and security of the end-to-end connectivity.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Your doctor's office or a lawyer's office. But, I mean, I don't think the average consumer need have a fax machine any longer.
No, very true. What is another one that really you feel that they either hit the nail on the head or they really missed the mark?
Something I'm more inclined to think about something they missed the mark, but I'm leaning back towards those AT&T commercials, and with the exception of swiping your credit card to go through the toll plaza at high speeds, you know, with an easy pass type of device. I mean, they got that right. They're like, oh, you know, tuck your baby from 1,000 miles away. Yeah, okay, you got FaceTime, you know, borrow some publications.
Except AT&T didn't come up with either of those. They said we're going to do it.
No, they didn't. They did not. But after the divestiture of AT&T into the Baby Bells, you know, even AT&T Wireless isn't part of the behemoth that once was Ma Bell. But for those of us old enough to remember when AT&T was called Ma Bell.
Yeah, that goes back one or two decades. So, more than that, actually.
I remember when they broke up in 84.
I always get a kick out of, there's this guy that keeps popping up on my Facebook reels. I don't go there very often, but he keeps showing up, and he's got this beard and a bald head, and he goes, "Hey, you remember when you were watching Breakfast Club? You are now, when you watch it in the theaters, you are now older than the vice principal in Breakfast Club." That was one of the ones I saw recently.
I know the guy you're talking about.
And some of those hurt, actually, really bad.
Yeah, he wants to rub a little salt in the wound there.
And not funny, a little though. Salt. It's a lot of salt.
Yeah, he's quite a character, that one.
Oh, yeah. Lots of interesting things looking into the past. Maybe one of these days we'll look into the future. You and I will talk about what we think the future will hold. But as for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell.
And I'm Keith M. Seador.
You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hi, this is Benjamin Rockwell. Most of us use digital cameras nowadays, but what do we do with those old pictures and slides in the back of the closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. If you have boxes of old slides, then you know they fade more and more each year. Let Legacy Digital scan them for you and stop the aging process dead in its tracks. You'll get beautiful 10-megapixel digital files, color-corrected and ready for printing. All this is done faster and cheaper than buying a film scanner and doing it yourself. Your files are then burned onto gold archival DVD discs where they will last for generations. Call right now, mention my name, Benjamin Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY. And tell them Benjamin sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
The website, ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. That's how you can reach out to us. You can scroll down to where it says contact us today. I will answer your computer questions, your technology concerns, whatever they may be. Mark Brownstein joins me now. And Mark, you were telling me what the topic was that you wanted to cover. And I love this, especially since the originations in my mind, where this originally came from in my mind, was from a Robert Heinlein novel called The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. And it was, the line is, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. And you wanted to talk about why free isn't free. So let's dive in.
That's right. Free isn't free. Imagine that you're watching free TV, a free streaming channel. Mm-hmm. And every 10 minutes, you're watching a commercial. Yeah. How much is your time worth? That's not free. They're taking your time and they're making you watch a commercial. Mm-hmm. You're giving them something to me. Free means they're giving you something of value. And they don't expect anything back for it.
Yeah.
And in most cases, it's not. You go to your grocery store, they'll put you in the grocery club. And they know where you live. They know what you're buying. That's not free. They're sending you targeted offers for discounts from other stores, and they're selling your information to other stores. That's not free. You're giving them something of great value, and they're giving you what? A free hamburger? I mean, it just doesn't sound right. Okay, I'm talking about free hamburger. Okay, you go to your neighborhood burger place, and they have you sign up for their burger club. And yeah, they'll give you a free burger, but in exchange, they're taking all your information. They're keeping track of what you buy, where you buy it, you know, other stores, all this kind of stuff. It's certainly not free.
Yeah.
And when I was an undergrad, we had pretty close to free. I go out of the student union. Back when I was an undergrad, they gave me a record album, Randy Newman's first album, Elton John's first album. Mm-hmm. I wish I still had them today. And these were designed so that you play the record, and if you like it, you tell your friends. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of marketing. Now it's a lot more of a problem. You go to a movie, we're talking about going to a movie, you pay however much you pay. You go in, you watch the trailers. If after 20 minutes, you know, if they start the movie after 20 minutes, you get a commercial for a car dealer or Spanish language commercial for another car dealer, and that happens every 20 minutes, you're going to go to the manager and say, hey, I paid all this money to get into the theater. I paid all this money for a $10 of popcorn that cost you 49 cents. Mm-hmm. I want my money back.
Yeah, you know, that movie theater analogy is very important. We're already reaching kind of a breaking point. We moved from 10 minutes of trailers to 15 minutes and 20 minutes. And now those trailers include some commercials. It used to be for the refreshment bar, but now they're including cars and they're including the car dealership, the local chiropractor, whatever it is. And it is getting to be ridiculous. There's been one movie which I've seen in probably the last, I'm going to say, 15-20 years in the movie theaters, which didn't have trailers up front, and it was famous for that. It was Oppenheimer. They said, we're going to start the movie on time. You better not mess this up. But that's the only one.
When I was in college and the end of high school, I was assistant manager at a movie theater. Back then, we had double features, you know, two movies, and in the middle between the two, you had an intermission.
Yeah.
And you can get a hot dog at the snack bar for 35 cents and a medium Coke for 30 cents, that kind of stuff. And you had trailers. You had, you know, previews of things to come. But they didn't expect anything more out of that. They took your buck and a quarter and they gave you a seat.
Mm-hmm.
It's changed a whole lot since then. Last time I went to a movie with my wife was 2004.
Oh, wow.
We saw Ray. Yeah, I don't remember what we paid. But on the subject of free things, mm-hmm. There's still some free things out there.
Yeah.
You may not notice that some of these are apps. The Merlin Bird ID that I talked about a few weeks ago is one of those free apps. You can download it. It's a great program, and they don't really expect anything from you. If you want, you can sign up and let them know what birds you're hearing, what birds you're seeing. You don't have to do that. And there are others that are probably free if you look for them. Things like speed test, supposed to be free. You can pay them some money for it. But if you don't pay them some money after every test, you get an ad.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's taking your time.
Yeah. It chews up some of the bandwidth that you're trying to test.
Well, yeah, it's after you're tested it. But yeah, it does chew it up. But there are others where, they'll give it to you free, but you got to watch ads. You got to go through them. Or in some cases, you pay a couple bucks, you get an app, and it's not going to bother you. And it's worth $3 maybe to get an app that gives you something that you want.
Yeah. But, you know, it's annoying me, actually, even beyond that. Now we see apps where they're charging you for the app, and then they still send you ads.
Oh, yeah.
We are being bombarded constantly, and it's driving me up a wall.
It's the old opt-out scam where they send you the stuff, and if you click on it to opt out, that means you've seen it. And so they'll do it again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they've acknowledged, you saw this, so we know your email address is valid. So we'll sell your email address to somebody else. Oh, there's just all kinds of nightmares and madness all the way along with this. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Mark Brownstein. You are listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and just a normal person. Recently, though, it was clear to me that it was time to upgrade, but I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After searching around for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when a 32-ounce soda would do. These guys know WordPress, Joomla, and regular standard websites. These guys at SiteGround are awesome. SiteGround.com. Site, S-I-T-E, ground.com. The bad guys are out to get us. They're out to get you, me, and everybody they can. And they have a whole bag of tricks along the way. One recent one hit the news in regards to a woman in East Oregon who was caught up in this whole big, huge, convoluted scam. The scammers reached out to her. They said, hey, we're federal agents, and your financial accounts are at risk of being frozen or hacked. You need to protect your assets. And you know what? The only way you can do that right now is convert this money over into gold bars. And then what we want you to do is we want you to turn them over to us for safekeeping. And this was a bit of a convoluted thing. She basically paid money to buy gold, air quotes, from a just crazy website that said, oh, we sell gold bars. And then, oh, yeah, we'll ship them to, yes, off to the Federal Reserve, no problem. They'll keep it there for you off in Fort Knox or however they talked her into this. And yes, we do business with the Federal Reserve all the time. This is totally up on the up and up. It was convincing enough to her to have her give them $600,000. Let's go through this real quick. Look, if anybody is telling you you need to convert your bank account money over into any kind of thing, whether it is gift cards or silver or gold, or you need to convert this into a car, whatever it is, I don't care, especially if it's coming from supposedly some government agency. But it doesn't have to be there. It can be anybody. If anybody is telling you to do that, that should be a huge red flag for you. As a matter of fact, you come across anything like this and you want to double check with someone. I offer this up. Anybody reaches on out to me and says, hey, this is the story. Is this a scam? I'm going to give you the full details on what's going on there. It probably is. Yeah, this is one of those things that was just absolutely outrageous. No one should ever ask you to buy gold or hand your money over to a stranger. This should not feel right to you. And if it doesn't feel right, I want you to trust your gut. This is so important. Yes. We need to be very aware that scammers are going to try a number of different tactics along the way. They're going to drive you into some level of panic. And the ways they will push you into panic vary constantly. It takes us, the human element, to really stop, to slow down, to think about whatever is being asked for us to do, and really think this through. As a matter of fact, you can check with your friends, check with your family, ask them, hey, does this pass the smell test? Does this sound like anything reasonable? Is this really what I need to be doing? We all need to be asking that of ourselves, of people around us, people we trust, no matter what they say, because they are the bad guys and they are out to get us. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country, but many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows the Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. Theradiofactory.com.
Your mouse is dead, and the computer is on life support. Benjamin Rockwell can help with that. Translating technobabble to English, your translation expert, Benjamin Rockwell, is here with Computer Talk Radio.
The website, computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. The phone number, 888-NERD-888, that's 888-637-3888. We are radio's broadest look at computers, technology, and how they impact our lives. This is, of course, only halfway through this week's show, and we cover all kinds of different topics. Steve Keske joins me now, and Steve, you are our go-to. You've been following the idea of drones as long as I have, but you've been fascinated by a lot of things that are going on. And I understand this past week we've seen some changes in how our government is looking at drone usage. What do you have for us there?
Finally.
Yeah, finally.
Years. Yes. Telling these people, you got to come up with a comprehensive way of regulating drones so that people know what they can and can't do with them.
Yes. So, and this goes in so many different directions, too. Yeah. There's so many different people, different government agencies who want to stick their finger in there and go, oh, you can't do that. Oh, you can't do that. You can do this, but only if you follow this rule, 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 this rule.
You know, you can't do this around airports. You can't do this around the nation's capital. You know, things like that. But
yeah.
At the same time, they don't want to set back any new inventions in drones and their usage.
Yes, I like the quote from the U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. He proposed a number of new rules, and along the way he said, quote, "We are going to unleash American drone dominance."
Yeah.
Wow, that is a serious statement, especially since we've been hearing for a long time the idea of squashing, both figuratively and literally, the usage of drones.
Yeah, because we all realize that delivery systems now are going to be more drone
driven.
Yeah, and all that kind of stuff, and that's commercial end. But the private use of drones and saying, you know, you can't quite do that in certain places. It's kosher, you know?
Yeah. It's very interesting because drones are used in a wide variety of locations. I've actually pondered a few times about getting a drone just for the fun of having it and taking some cool pictures, but also For inspecting my house and yep. my property.
Yep.
And you know, and that, and that's a fun direction for any individual to look at. But
sure.
we go from there. Yes, you mentioned delivery of packages. We're getting to the point where other countries are already allowing for delivery of packages. Is everybody within drone distance of an Amazon supercenter or whatever it is, distribution center? But some of them may be, and that might be a lot better. But we're talking about inspections of power lines and railroad bridges. I know there's a roofer that is utilizing drones for initial inspections of houses.
Yeah.
And we see the usage of drones in search and rescue operations. Anytime a kid goes missing off in the woods, we're starting to hear about that. And
oh, yeah.
And
looking for criminals and things.
Sure. And the fires in Southern California, they're utilizing drones to get a better view on what it is the fire doing, which direction it's going in, everything.
Yeah. And one of the newest things in the news is that one of the so-called social media outlets came up with is kids getting on top of the subway cars and surfing.
Now, yikes.
Kids have died from this.
Yes.
So the New York Police Department have used drones to figure out, hey, who's on what?
Mm-hmm.
And then to have cops inside the cars arresting these dummies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's dumb to do that.
Yes. So we're going to be seeing some very interesting rules coming forward in the coming years. I'm going to say that the latest is they're going to allow more drones to fly beyond what is visual line of sight. I want you to think you're sitting in a small little valley. Okay, I can see the drone over there. Oh, I can't let it go any further that way, even though it's still close because of the visual rule.
Yeah.
Well, with the computing power these days, you can press home and it will return from wherever. But also a matter of, okay, is visual line of sight on the other side of that tree? Is that breaking the visual line of sight? They're setting up new height requirements. If it's out of sight, it has to be below 400 feet.
Yeah.
In things like that. This is a distinctly interesting direction to go in, which is going to free up a lot of hobbyists, a lot of people that really want to push drones to a new level.
Yeah. And I have been pushing for this for years, because I realized long time ago that when drones were being used for private, you know, modeled people and all that, and they were using these drones, that it was out of control as far as what you could and what you couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no regulations governing all of it. And then there was always, hey, guess what? We can put cameras on them. We can put microphones on them. Mm-hmm. We can do some communities are saying you can't fly a drone over your neighbor's yard and peer over the fence. You know, there's things like that. But now to have a uniform type of set of regulations, to me, is a no-brainer.
Yes, I think this is going to be a great direction to go in. I look at the future of drone usage, and I do like right now, if you have certain, if the drone is over a certain size, you've got to have, I'll call it a license.
Sure.
And if you're doing certain things, you have to have waivers and so forth. Like, you know, the new rule setting, they have noted that it won't allow for drone flights over large gatherings like concerts or sporting events or crowded parks. But I think that some of this is going to allow for a little bit more flexibility for the individual user without being draconian. You can't fly it over anybody ever. And things like that. It's going to be an interesting road.
Yeah, and the fact that our good old federal government is finally putting out the bucks to do it.
Yes, yes. So what would you like to see next out of all of the drone legislation? Where would you like to see it go?
I would like to see it being more and more flexible, but yet at the same time saying, you know, these are the things you can or cannot do, and fly where you can and cannot fly. Because of the fact that you have all of that privacy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with I can do it over my property. Can I do it over, you know? And, hey, when they did model aircraft, what do you do? Can you do that on your... No, you can't do that in your backyard. You have to take it out to a place where you can fly them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The same thing is probably going to hold true with a lot of drone stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally like to see that because now you're taking out of that whole atmosphere a lot of fear of... Your neighbors wanting, you've got a drone, and do I have the right, if it's over my property, to shoot it and bring it down?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Let's hope not. Let's not go there.
But you see where I'm going.
Sure. As for now, that's the voice of Steve Geske. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You are listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. You have a couple of those new carbon open frame racks from CyberPower, right?
Yeah, I love them. I configured a 25U to 40 inches deep, about twice as deep as a regular rack, and put more than a dozen peripherals in it.
You know, I saw your article about it. I can't believe it's not clutter.
And my 45U carbon rack, that's also 40 inches deep, will hold a ton of networking and control systems, the network video recorder.
Holy screwdriver, Rackman!
You're getting one of their gorgeous enclosed racks soon.
Oh yeah, the 24U. Bigger than their wall-mount carbon racks, but smaller than their tall boy.
Did you see what's happening with carbon on the CyberPower website?
Oh yeah, the promo, 10% off all their racks and rack accessories through the end of September. I put a link up at computertalkradio.com. ComputerTalkRadio.com. The website, ComputerTalkRadio.com. ComputerTalkRadio.com. Recent studies have come out and they talk about the dumbing down of our minds because of technology. And I want to address this. I want to give you some thoughts to think about in regards to our reliance on technology and some hopeful balance to this concept here. Your smartphone is great. There's no denying it. It is a personal assistant at your fingertips. We've asked it to remind you of our friends' birthdays. It does so flawlessly and in a number of different directions, whether it's our various reminders in the phone or it's something like a reminder on LinkedIn or Facebook. And we can ask our smartphones to give us directions to the nearest coffee shop, and it does so without a hitch. It's like having your own genie in this little magical bottle we call a smartphone, and it grants your wishes with a click of a button. However, as much as we love the convenience of technology, we need to be aware of the dangers of over-reliance in today's society. technology has become so prevalent that it's actually very difficult for some to imagine life without it. We've got smart homes and self-driving cars along with those smartphones, and we've become reliant on technology to make our lives easier. With the rise of artificial intelligence, we are actually starting to place a lot of different information in there, thinking we can replace our own brain power with machines. This will lead to a malaise in our thinking process. It'll dull us down. It will make us less capable of dealing with life itself. I want you to think about why we should be careful about relying on technology. When we rely on anything like AI to do a lot of thinking for us, all the thinking for us, we risk becoming complacent. We've become so used to having everything at our fingertips that we are starting to forget how to think critically and solve problems on our own. This will lead to a lack of innovation. We're trusting the machine to do the innovation. That's not good. Creativity. And I'll tell you, I am deeply concerned about all of the different directions where we can just go to AI and say, hey, give us a picture that looks like this. And it's going to draw up a design, and it may or may not be as creative as what we should have within our lives. That's kind of scary. I think about what would have happened had somebody like Van Gogh put his faith in technology and said, hey, draw a picture of me. Ooh, that looks cool. I'm going to just stick with that instead of the classic picture we have of himself with his head bandaged and all of that. We risk becoming too reliant on the tried and tested methods of our devices. AI and overall technology in its many forms is designed to provide us with answers quickly and efficiently. However, this can lead to a dulling of our own problem-solving skills. We have become accustomed to these answers just being handed to us on a platter, and we may not take the time to explore the deeper aspects of the answers that have been provided. We may not explore different options. We may not come up with creative solutions. We may proceed forward much like they did in Jurassic Park. Ooh, check it out. We've got this information and we can use this to make dinosaurs. That's where we turn into a scary direction that none of us should be moving in. This impacts our ability to think outside the box. This can restrict us from adapting to the new situations that will come up, and they will come up in our lives. All these different forms of artificial intelligence lack any emotional intelligence. They lack any empathy that we as humans possess. When we rely too heavily on technology to draft up and write our entire emails, we risk losing our ability to connect with people on an emotional level. I fear for a coming day when even our text messages will be AI driven and maybe at some point just do the communications for us without us even interacting. We can set up automatic messages, automatic replies that address situations today with AI, and that's a scary direction to go in. This can make us less empathetic, less able to build the meaningful relationships that we need to proceed forward. So what can we do? Well, first off, instead of relying on tech to do everything for us, we need to use it to enhance our own abilities. For example, instead of just relying on a calculator to do our math for us, we should use it to check our work and improve our understanding of the underlying concepts that we are using in math. Next, to to avoid becoming complacent, we need to practice the variety of critical thinking and problem-solving skills on a regular basis. This can be all kinds of different ways. As simple as solving a crossword puzzle. For years, people have noted that crossword, doing the New York Times crossword puzzle, this is a great way to keep our brains exercised. This can be a matter of us going into tackling real-world problems, not just the crossword puzzle, but by addressing these things without relying on looking this up, looking up the answer to this, that, or the other thing on our AI or Google or whatever it is that you're using. We need to be improving our ability to think creatively and innovatively. And lastly, technology is a great way to stay connected with all of our friends and other people around. It is important, and we should know this from the recent experiences we had just 5 years ago with COVID. We have to connect with people on a personal level. And I'm going to say on a sober level. I'm going to say not by going on down to the local bar and just hanging out and having a bunch of beers with people. This is by taking time to have a face-to-face conversation with as many people as you can on a regular basis. We need to be building meaningful relationships. By doing this, we develop our emotional intelligence. We develop our empathy. This will make us far better equipped to deal with all of life's challenges, and life's challenges do include social interaction. Yes, technology has made our lives so much easier in many ways. We have the ability to access the information age and pull up all kinds of different information in regards to many things that are happening around the world right this moment, have happened across the history of the internet and across time. But we need to be ultra careful not to become reliant on technology itself to gain this information. By using technology to enhance our own abilities, practicing critical thinking and problem solving, and also by connecting with others on a personal level, we can start to avoid the dangers of over-reliance and ensure that technology serves us rather than rules us. We go back to the beginning there. Technology definitely should be our personal assistant, but it should never, ever become our boss, our controller. That could be bad. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
Debbie reached out to me. She had a question in regards to VPNs, and we'll get into that here in just a moment. But first, the website, computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. www.ChuckWagon.com. That's how you can reach out to me. Ask me your computer questions, your technology concerns, and I will seek to address those as best I can. Now, in Debbie's situation, she sent me a long message, and her concern was, do you know about VPNs and that NordVPN now uses peer-to-peer? She goes on to express some concerns in regards to this, the idea of her traffic going through other systems that are not the NordVPN servers. And I'm going to touch on that, but I have to explain what peer-to-peer is in the first place. And this is something that it's been around for a long time. And initially, it was a way of distributing files without having servers. It was something that was made popular by a music sharing company, software, whatever you want to call it, from, 25 years ago. But it had existed prior to then. And the basic concept is this. You have your computer. And there are people out there that have their own computers that seek to achieve some of the same goals that you are doing, whether that is file sharing, which I'm not into illegal file sharing, but it is used frequently for the legal file sharing. But in this case, also to work to an anonymize. There we go. I had to think that word through. Anonymize your communication out to the internet. Now, what that means is, let's say you've got four people in your city, yourself, and then Jim and Jack and Jane. All right, so we're going to just stick with those three names there, Jim, Jack, and Jane, and then whoever you are. Now, if you were file sharing, then they could each deliver part of those files to you in various packets. The internet is not like we think it is. It's not like when you go download a podcast, for instance. You download that podcast and it delivers it to you all at once. Technically, it is delivering it to you one packet at a time. And those packets fly across the internet, and there's error checking that happens and a number of different things. If you have an error in one of those packets, it just asks for both sides to restart that one individual packet. So if you go and you download Computer Talk Radio, well, guess what? You're going to be able to get that entire file exactly accurate as it's intended because they didn't deliver to you one big, huge file. It delivered it to you in packets, or think of it like pages, like you would print out a book on your laser printer. And if there is an error in any of those pages in that book, it'll just print out another copy of page 27 out of that book without you having to print the entire book all over again. So that's how peer-to-peer kind of operates. So now let's take it to that next step. VPN. What VPN is all about securing your information as it goes across the internet. It goes through an encryption process. It goes through a delocalization process as well, because the information is coming in from one of many multiple locations or a VPN server itself. So you communicate to the VPN server, and then from there, the information goes on to the internet, comes back in through that server, so you can be anywhere in the world and have secure connections without people eavesdropping on you and doing what we call packet inspection. So let's dive into how peer-to-peer works. And NordVPN, I looked this up. I confirmed this. I had a suspicion at the time that I was replying to Debbie, but I wanted to make sure. So I want you to think about this. We have multiple packets going out. Jim, remember I said Jim, Jack, and Jane. Jim has packet one, and it goes to my bank, and it carries my user ID, my username, whatever it is. Jack will then have packet two going with whatever it is that is the information going in regards to my password. It could be a hash, which is just a crazy encryption of my password, or something else. It doesn't matter. Jane is going to have a different packet, packet number three, going with my multi-factor authentication response. Jim, Jack, and Jane, even in collusion, would not likely to even be able to piece together all of these random packets together without some major flaws. All of the packets are already encrypted on any SSL website, which is most of our banks, our shopping, all of that. So we then add in the encryption of NordVPN. So we're kind of doubling down on all of this encryption, which massively complicates the decryption of all of this traffic. So they would all have to, just by luck, Jack, Jane, and Jim, all happen to have those individual packets going out, and then put those packets together, figure them all out, and of course, decrypt all of that information. Based on that kind of operation, we're talking some serious government-level computing and spying and control that is ever going to be able to get that information. In reality, this is a great idea. This is an amazing approach to ensuring that all of our communications are even more secure. Anybody at this point, right here, is going to be better off just hacking my PC or your PC directly. It's going to be far easier than trying to piece together all of this information from all different locations, put it all together and say, hey, we've got Benjamin's password and username and all of the things we need to take all of his money. Well, $12.38. Have at it. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. Feel free to reach out to me with your computer questions, your technology concerns. I am more than happy to come alongside with you in your technology journey towards knowledge. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hey guys, this is Benny Rockwell. Most of us use video cameras nowadays, but what about those old movie films in the back of your closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. Imagine Grandpa's old 8mm and 16mm films that are just sitting in a box getting old and fading away. Legacy Digital will clean and recondition those films, capture them digitally frame by frame, and then produce beautiful DVDs of your precious memories on long-lasting archive-quality discs. They don't use a projector, and your films can't be damaged in the process, the best available for families like yours. The final results are gorgeous. What better way to preserve those precious memories for future generations? Call right now, mention my name, Benny Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY, 1-866-253-4229. And tell them Benny sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
This is Benjamin Rockwell, and now it's time to get down to business. This is where we talk about computers, the workplace, and how it all fits in together. Now, you may be sitting out there, you may be listening to the show, and you're going to say, artificial intelligence, that's not for me. You've probably even heard it somewhere. You may have said it out loud to people. I mean, after all, not everybody out there is writing code. They're not managing data pipelines. They're not going into all of these deep dives in different directions with AI. You could be a landscaper, a dental hygienist, a forklift operator. This might sound that it's like artificial intelligence is as relevant to your day as a lunar eclipse. Fair enough. You don't need to know how to prompt engineer a chatbot while you're lifting pallets or you're trimming hedges or mowing lawns or any of that. But here's the twist. AI can make your job easier, faster, and yes, even more secure. Let me expand what I'm talking about here, okay? AI may not be required, but it is still going to be useful to people. We start looking at the electricians and the plumbers. They are not going to be replaced by AI anytime soon. They have very hands-on positions, and they're dealing with very... I don't want to say simple. That's not the right thing, but it is. It's something you learn. It's a trade you learn. But I'm going to tell you, we have AI-powered inventory tools that are out there that can help streamline you ordering any kind of supplies that you might be dealing with. The AI scheduling apps that are out there, they're starting to set up scheduling apps that are going to optimize your work route throughout the day. We think about my wife got her hair done recently, and hairdressers and stylists, they still need human hands and flair, and they do need some level of creativity. But again, we start talking about bookings. We start talking about doing various lookups in regards to trendy cuts that might be based on face shapes, or you might be translating different interactions from people who don't even speak English. And then truck drivers. Here's another one. They may never need to go into ChatGPT and utilize a lot of the stuff that's there for the written language and so forth. But AI is already in place. You are leveraging it if you are using something like Waze or any of these traffic apps that allow you to reroute around traffic. There are others that will allow you to automate logs. So this is something where you need to be learning all about AI and how it can help you. In short, those folks, AI may not replace them, but somebody using AI has a digital advantage over the ones that don't use AI. In various low-end positions, we're starting to see that there are AI-powered systems that are driving us forward. Cashiers are using point-of-sale systems that will mention promotions in real time while people are making their purchases. It will help flag suspicious transactions. Administrative assistants, they are starting to use AI to draft emails, summarize meetings, and prepare reports, and they are shaving minutes and even hours of time off of their day to free them up for additional work and get more done in that standard day. Even your typical factory worker, they are starting to work alongside of robots that learn routines and adjust on the fly, guided by human oversight. Yes, some of those factory workers that do not adopt AI are going to be left behind. This isn't science fiction. This is the middle of the week. It's Tuesday, for all we know. This is something that is very important for all of us to be looking at. How can I utilize this new technology to better what I'm doing during the day? And this isn't something that you can afford to rest on. Business itself across the board is driving hard in this. AI literacy is going to be your new superpower. Knowing how to talk to AI, even at the most basic level, is like knowing how to Google 20 years ago. It's the difference between riding the wave, surfer, just moving along, or just being thrashed by it. Now, you don't need any kind of fancy computer science degree. What you need is just simply a bit of curiosity, a bit of courage, and a bit of time going on out and finding out on YouTube, how do I go through and do this? How do I do that with ChatGPT or any of the other AI engines out there? You need to start by asking, what is the most annoying part of my job? And then search. Ask ChatGPT, how can I automate this using AI? Whatever you get back, you're going to be surprised for this. So AI isn't going to be coming for our jobs anytime soon. It is showing up in our jobs. The sooner that you treat it like the next power tool instead of a threat, the more future-proof and valuable you become to your employer, to yourself, to your customers, and everybody else. This is the direction we're going to be going in for a long time to come. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and, well, a normal person. Recently, though, it became clear to me that it was time to upgrade. I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After looking for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their care, their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when all I needed was a 1-gallon bucket. The folks at SiteGround know WordPress, Joomla, and more. SiteGround.com, S-I-T-E, ground.com for your web hosting needs. SiteGround. Ivy reached out to me. Why is my screen randomly flickering or going black for a couple of seconds? All right, so there's a few different things that could be happening here. And the first thing I'm always going to look at whenever I'm dealing with a situation of an external screen, and I am presuming that's the situation. We've got some other things which will apply to, like, laptop screens and so forth. But the first thing I always check is the cable itself. We could have a situation there where there's a loose HDMI or display cable. This happens all the time. And the best thing to do there is unplug it completely, plug it back in, make sure it's nice and solidly in there. Now, the next thing is the fact that the cable itself may be, I don't want to say going bad. That's a very tricky thing to say. It is a digital connection, and it should just work. But over the course of time, some cables we've seen have started to develop problems. It's a matter of an internal deterioration of the cable itself. And I've seen this a few times now, and it's kind of a head scratcher. If you have a cheap cable, then you should probably consider going on out and grabbing. Don't get the real expensive cables. I'm going to tell you, there's no need for you to get a $100 HDMI cable or DisplayPort cable or any of that. But you might check and get a new cable to replace the existing one. This is going to be the very first place I check. The next thing you need to be looking at is, do you have outdated graphics drivers? And if you've got the drivers that are installed with Windows, right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, make sure you get the actual specific drivers from the specific website itself. If we're talking NVIDIA, AMD, or Intel, you're going to be getting the drivers from them. And they update those on a regular basis. You may also have a situation where the GPU, that's the graphics processing unit, is starting to fail. It may be overheating, and this is something we see in older systems, and they may act in a number of different directions. One of them, yeah, flickering, going out for a second or two. Also, you may see after a flicker, or even without a flicker, you may see random garbage on the screen, And that is something that is definitely going to be a key concern. In the case, if you've got a system that's anything newer than about 3 years, you might want to consider replacing the video card after you try the previous items. If you've got anything older than three or 4 years, you might be in the market for a new PC. Start thinking about that right away. And there may be some incompatible refresh rate settings. Those are stuck in the drivers. There may be some background processes that cause GPU resets. There may be a number of different things. But those key things, replacing the cable, checking your drivers, and checking your overall health of your GPU, those are going to be the first and foremost items that I would look at. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. We'll catch you next week.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio, so I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country, but many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. Theradiofactory.com.